Jema. So today we'll have only one session because dining room is early and there is a program in the theater. So with these last three chapters we read, that is 24, 25, 26, Sri Aurobindo gave us a very detailed glimpse of what matter is. And with that, we complete the entire building blocks of creation, which is part of book one. There are two more chapters, of which we'll read one today and one tomorrow, which will complete book one. Book one, which is part one of the Life Divine. Now, just to recapitulate a few of the things, there are seven basic worlds which the Vedas describe. There is at the peak there is Satlok, or the world of infinite existence. Then there is Chitlok or Chitghanlok, the world of infinite consciousness and infinite force. Anandalok, or the world of bliss, the supramental. Maharlok is one of the terms which is used to describe it, but again, the different ways it has looked upon, but we can say Vijnanmay Lok or Maharlok. But unfortunately, all these terms have been by the intellectual minds who don't have the experience, they've been rather distorted. For example, Vijnanmay, I was reading one of the long back some yogi's book where he says Vijnanmay is intellectual mind. And even now, there are people who talk about it, and Vijnan we take as science or intellectual mind. But Vijnanmay refers to the original cause, which is the supermind. So, in its origin. So, joining these terminologies often creates a confusion. So, these are the four higher worlds. Chitghanlok and Tapolok stand at the same level. And then there are three lower worlds, the worlds of mind, the worlds of life and the worlds of matter. All these seven worlds are reflected below us also. That's a different story. Sri Aurobindo describes it in Savitri, descent into night. So infinite existence becomes in the inconscient a complete non-existence. Infinite consciousness becomes complete unconsciousness. Infinite force becomes absolute helplessness. Infinite ananda becomes endless suffering. So you have these seven worlds actually reflected, because entire descent, evolution, all that, which he'll talk about subsequently, so we'll not spend much time on that. All these worlds are reflected within us, because though each is distinct, yet it is not disconnected. There is a difference between being distinct and disconnected. So Bay of Bengal and Arabian Sea and the Indian Ocean are distinct. There is a reason why they are distinct. It is the behavior of the water, many other things, depth of the ocean. But they are not disconnected. If one is a, let's say, a super swimmer, one can jump into Bay of Bengal and go right up to Atlantic, Pacific, all connected. But they are distinct. Similarly, at one end, there is unity. At the other end, which is material, so the spiritual end, there is unity. Unity of substance, unity of consciousness, and all experience is a single unity. And here, at the material pole, we have multiplicity. Again, this multiplicity is distinctiveness and differentiation, not separation. Differentiation is important. That's part of the original plan, because the original plan is unity in diversity. And each element represents something of the infinite. So it differentiation, it has its own purpose. It's not a blurring. This is not a unity which is blurred. This is differentiation. But each element begins to act, believe that it is separate from others. Now this also has a purpose, because otherwise it will just merge and melt. So see how ignorance serves a purpose. But in reality, it cannot be separate. Always we will see unity behind at every level in creation, and we will see the differentiation on the surface at every level. One simple example is the human body. So the human body sends, automatically by a kind of hidden instinct or whatever programming, whatever we want to call it in any language, sends to each organ whatever is needed. When we eat food, it sends to each its own quota. For instance, sugar must go to the brain because it has to utilize a high degree of sugar. So body has created mechanisms so that sugar will pass freely, and so on and so forth in all the organs. Certain things will go to liver. Whatever has to be, you know, detoxified will go to liver. So automatically the body does that. And right to the single cell. Each cell receives its quota. Government has to learn from this. There are no special status. There are no, you know, minority groups. Because each one has to receive what they deserve according to their role and their place. The heart is heart. So it is important. So nature provides so much to it. That's why its blood vessels are so structured that, if you cut a heart, it won't pain. But if you have a little lack of blood supply, it immediately sends up pain signals. If you cut the brain doesn't have pain sensations. But brain receives and recognizes pain anywhere in the body. It's projected inside the skull. So that's how the body operates. And yet, if you ask one cell, if the cell could say that, well, how about, there are other cells and are you connected? It doesn't act like that. It would say, no, I am distinct, I am myself, and probably it will recognize a few cells around it, like we may recognize the mohalla or the city or maybe the earth, but beyond it we cannot, because that's how the limit of the cell. Similarly, when we see the life energy pulsates through the system. Again, there is one life energy flowing in fivefold manner, panch pran, that's five nagas which are described. Nag means cobras. I don't know why they describe it like this, but well, cobras are very swift evolutionary creatures, so probably for that. Panch pran, as it is called. So here again, we have life flowing into different areas with a balancing mechanism, samana, which takes care that too much doesn't go up, too much doesn't go down, it balances the pranic energy. But behind, there is one prana animating the entire universe. There are no two pranas. And that's why one can come into contact with, say, a tree and receive life energy. Mother speaks about Madame Theon, who would draw energy by keeping a fruit on her belly, and the fruit would become dry, shrivel up within a short time. Technically it is possible, because there is one prana, universal prana, universal pranic energy. It animates everything, even the gods receive from the same prana. But they have a vaster consciousness, so the prana is so much. That's why, in human beings, instruments have been devised in other animals for this much of prana. But there is one prana. Similarly, we see mind. Again, we see extreme level of the mental, in our everyday life experience. People speak different languages and they fight over languages. My language, your language, and one of the greatest joy you see when they meet somebody speaking their language in wherever they go. You go to abroad and you hear a person speaking some Indian language, even if you don't know it, you are Hindi speaking, you hear somebody speaking Tamil and you are so happy. You don't understand a word, but you are happy because you know there is somebody, that's how you see the unity when you go out. But if you go to the roots, all languages, anywhere, even if the gods have to speak, will go back to those root sounds. Sounds take the form of words. And these sounds are seed sounds which don't use an instrument. They are very powerful. That's why we have those seed sounds, mantras, bija mantra. Heem, kleem, chamundai, reem, ram. They are very powerful. They are seed sounds. Or the ultimate seed sound. Om. So these are seed sounds. Now in human beings, instruments have been created for speech. These seed sounds will manifest. Human voice particularly, Mother says, has been made in such a way that it can produce maximum octaves, combination of sounds. So that's where we see the beauty of Sanskrit. They studied every possible sound that you can take out through a combination. So you have palatals, you have nasals, you have labials. So you have a whole series, pa pa ba ba ma, yara la va sha, cha cha ja ja. You see, ka kha ga gha. From these sounds, which are same, anybody anywhere in the world, these are the root sounds because they are based on your anatomy. They are not based on anybody's, they are based on simple anatomy sounds. So that's why Sanskrit is such a wonderful technical language, because it takes care of all these sounds. But then these sounds form words, words form languages, languages get fixed and associated. Even though, if you go to the roots, it's very interesting. Stand, sthit. There are such correspondences. Shobindo has done a detailed study. Even we use the word flexibly. Stand, take a stand, sthit, sthiti. So many ways, but so always on the surface there is differentiation. But this differentiation finds its meaning in the unity behind. So this is how the plan is. Unity at the apex and multiplicity below. But what holds the key to this unity and the differentiation? Because in the origin, there is only one, ekameva dvitiyam. There is pure existence, bare, infinite. But this existence has within it consciousness. Otherwise, it would never be aware of itself. So the conscious force inherent within existence makes existence aware of itself. That's how God knows himself. Nobody needs to tell him, you know, according to me, you're supposed to be like this. He'll say, okay. Maybe. Somebody else will say, according to me, you are like this. He will say, maybe. All of you are right and wrong at the same time. I am all of these and none of these. That's how Buddha will reply, which people unfortunately took as not believe. Because when they would ask, does God exist? He'll say, find out. If somebody says, I don't believe. There's a beautiful story. Somebody said, came and told him, I believe in God and I believe you also say the same thing. So I want to know, is it correct? So Buddha said, yes, it is correct. So another person came rolling his sleeve, but I have heard you say there is no God and I don't believe in God. Am I right? Buddha says, you are right. Goes back. So the disciple says, sir, what is this? You said to him, you are right. And you said to the other person, you are right. Won't it create a confusion? Buddha says, you are also right. He had a way of breaking the notions. We can't limit the infinite. But see, what happens, how religions fight. My God versus your God. The lower they come on the scale, the more they fight. The higher they go, the more wideness and Catholicity. So this is about the lower triple world. But behind there is, who is the, where is the key to unity and differentiation? Who holds the master key? That is supermind. Why it is needed at all? Divine is omnipotent. He can just bring out all his infinity. Well, he has to order it, bring out in a certain order. He can't be randomly throwing things. Then there will be randomness, no order. So, the divine, the one himself, that same conscious force, it makes existence aware of itself, of all its possibilities. The same conscious force, existence, trilogy and ananda, when they turn towards creation, then the supermind aspect, the divine as creator, he is the divine as creator, same divine, they are not two, there is no separation there, they are one. Supermind is a necessity. So what is supermind? It is the order of creation, the law, the differentiation, the determining factor. That's why things follow a pattern. That's why stars hang in space and don't randomly fall down on us. That's why pumpkins grow below. Otherwise, if they fall on us, coconut grows above, but strangely, hardly falls on a human head. It is built like that. One has to be outright stupid to stand below a coconut tree. It doesn't give shade. Such a wonderful plan. Because if you stand, there is no reason why one should stand below, unless, as I said, you are outright foolish. And when it falls in certain way. Hardly any incidents reported. I mean, rare things can happen anywhere. When we look at even the functioning of the heart, the rhythm, the order, once somebody ticks the clock, it goes on for, unless we really do something very mischievous, even then 70 years, 75 years, it goes on. Strange how it ticks. Again, things up. Why? Because supermind is behind. It's ordering things. It's called as marshalling the rays of the sun. So this is the sevenfold. So from supermind, mind comes. In supermind, all the possibilities are present. In the mind, when it comes in its own realm, there are different standpoints that it can take. In supermind, they are all present together. Now, as it releases into creation at the first level, the mind takes different, capable of taking different standpoints. As it comes down, it has to take one standpoint or the other. See, this is the problem. Now, when it takes one standpoint or the other, it has to, by its very nature, keep the others aside. It selectively sees. Are the other standpoints invalid or not there? No, they are there. But I choose now to take this standpoint. As it goes further down in life, it becomes a life working in a certain form, in a certain way. And at the form, complete differentiation takes place. So mind comes from supermind. Life comes from chittapas, consciousness force. So we'll see wherever, everywhere there is life, everywhere. Even in the dead matter there is life. Gods are living, of course. So life is everywhere. It is there as a awareness and it is there as a force. Everywhere, even in atom. This is a very rudimentary kind of, as we have said, awareness, and there is force. So life comes from consciousness force. So supermind, mind, existence becomes matter. Existence becomes matter, supermind, mind, conscious force becomes life. What happens to ananda? Ananda becomes the psychic being. That's why one of the signs of discovery of the psychic being is a state of inner felicity and joy without any outer conditions or requirement. It is the child of bliss. And it is in this sense, because Krishna is Anandamaya. So all souls belong to Krishna in that sense. And that's why they are attracted. The word Krishna means that which attracts. So souls get attracted. So that's why many people describe Radha as the soul and Krishna as the master of the souls. Because Krishna is Anandamaya, and out of that, that's why Shri Krishna says, all are my children. I am the pita of all of them. So these are not just, words. We use them very casually. Anybody becomes a pita of God knows what all. But Krishna is the father, if you look at, because bliss, psychic being comes from him. And wherever there is bliss, there will be love. Love and bliss are two sides of one truth. The same bliss turned upon itself becomes pure ananda. When ananda turns towards creation, it becomes love. So we can say that bliss is fruit and love is flower. It's giving to everyone. In fruit, it is closed within. You have to cut it, then you have to eat it. But flower is radiating. So love and bliss are two sides. Wherever there is love, there is joy. Lack of joy equals to lack of vitamin L. Depression means vitamin L has gone to dangerously low levels. Vitamin L is love, of course. And if vitamin L is excessive, that is divine love, infinite, then of course it's something so beautiful. So wherever there is joy, there is love. Wherever there is love, there is harmony. Only love can create harmony. No amount of mental discussion, debates can create harmony. So, again, when we discover the psychic being, there is joy, there is love, there is harmony. Need for harmony is very great in those who come closer to their psychic essence. And the reverse is also true. Cruel natures are farthest from the divine. They don't want harmony. They want hegemony. In the house, the person wants to be the boss. In the office, he wants to be. Even in his little field, the peon, he won't let your file pass. When it comes to him, he is the boss. So, further you go, the more in that little empire, you want to have your hegemony. In a family circle, the grandsire wants to have hegemony. We can have either hegemony or harmony. Psychic wants harmony. And the fourth thing that comes with joy, harmony, love is beatitude. Beatitude or beauty in the truest sense comes from the soul. That's why Krishna is Shyama Sundara. Beauty. Wherever there is ananda, wherever there is love, there is beauty. It can reflect upon everything. And we may add the word most commonly used in Savitri. Wherever there is ananda, wherever there is love, wherever there is harmony and beauty, there is sweetness. Not the artificial sweetness, like love also has become degraded. Artificial sweetness, oh, you're so nice. No, they're not. It's like love you. It's like artificial, no? It loses its depth. Joy, I'm very happy, let's go party. No. They are the degradations. There's a true sweetness that comes from the soul. So that is the ananda, bliss. It's everywhere in creation, sustaining creation. So now Sri Aurobindo says, they're not seven principles, but eight principles. And we can see the importance he gives to the psychic being in this whole journey. So this is the background, and we can just read a few passages from chapter 27. The sevenfold cord of being. So certain things we have already spoken of, so we'll go further. And one more thing, in every principle, all other principles are there. It's not cut off from each other. That the unity is always behind. Someone asked Mother, it says all these are interesting practical implications. So when mother is there, they believe that only some godlike things will be around. So they ask Sri Aurobindo, first time when I had read this letter, it had shook me by a jolt. Says, where mother is there, everything is there. Not only supermind, mental, vital, physical, everything is there. Where else it will be? Apply it to the ashram. Where the divine is there, you will see all. It's not only holy, only sacred things will come. Everything will be there. Because it's there. And everything is secretly, ultimately supported by the divine. It has got distorted, perverted in the play. That the other part which he'll talk about at great length subsequently. So everything will be there, and we are the ones who have to navigate through this ocean, make choices, climb, because now this sevenfold cord is like a ladder, it's like a ropeway. And we have to climb on this ladder one by one. And all around in the ladder is Sachidanand. Unity is always behind. But ladder creates rung. So when we are in the level of matter, we will experience life in a certain way, very dull, boring, mechanical, meaningless, senseless. When we are in the vital level, depending on where we are, life begins to be full of that joy, enthusiasm, but of a different kind as we climb up the ladder. When we are at the level of mind, then thought, ideas, they are very important. People live and die for it. And when we go beyond the mind, then there are gradations. At each gradation, the divine discloses himself in a different way. But he is always there. At every level he is there. So that is the beauty of creation. So we can read a little bit. Just because it's also happens to be Shivratri. So we can understand through the example of Shiva. So Shiva is also in the atoms. Sri Aurobindo speaks about it. In the Shiva, in his fiery chariot, rides in the electron. Because he is at once the creator and the destroyer. Tandav and Lasya. They are not only taking place one place. Everywhere there is creation and destruction going on. So Shiva in that sense is there. All the gods, they have their own, their cosmic beings. Shiva's energy is working in the lower creation, in the lower nature, can take an extremely destructive form of Rudra. Shiva's energy higher up becomes Asutosh, benevolent, transbound, just like Gauri becomes Kali here. She identifies with darkness and destroys it. So she becomes Kali. When you go there, she is benevolent. Shiva is the overmind god, is the represents the force aspect. So he is the destroyer, tamo gun pradhan, because he brings all things back to their primal state. So he is tamo gun pradhan. Each of the gods are Shiva. Beyond the overmind is no more Shiva, but he is an, he becomes, some people describe him as Param Shiva or Mahashiva, but actually then he is an aspect of the Sachidananda. Which aspect? Force. Consciousness is an aspect of the one, and over mind he becomes Vishnu. Infinite existence is there as an aspect of the one, all together, not aspect as separated. Here he becomes Brahma. Ananda is all integrated in the one, in the harmonies of the supermind. But in overmind, he becomes the Godhead of Ananda, Krishna. So that's how, then they have their own worlds, Brahmalok, here reflected in overmind as Brahmalok, Kailash, but there in the Satlok, Chidghanlok. So this is how the plan operates. Amazing, actually. And the more we dwell into it, it's so amazing. And how the rishis discovered all this, and how Sri Aurobindo goes further and discovers all things in their unity and differentiation. So he speaks about page 278. The cosmos also is a play of this divine self-delight, and the delight of that play is entirely possessed by the universal. But in the individual, owing to the action of ignorance and division, it is held back in the subliminal and the superconscient being. On our surface it lacks and has to be sought for, found and possessed by the development of the individual consciousness towards universality and transcendence. The more we enter into a whole or on the surface nature, we will be subject to pleasure and pain. The more we step back, enter into the inner being, subliminal, the more we go beyond the limited personality called man, the more we will discover these things in their original purity. That's the whole thing. We may therefore, if we will, pose 8 principles instead of 7. 7 is what the Vedic Rishi spoke of. Shobindo is speaking of 8. And then we perceive that our existence is a sort of refraction of the divine existence in inverted order of ascent and descent thus ranged. So this is the inverted order. Existence is Sat, but here it becomes the lowest matter. Consciousness, force. Next, here it becomes life. Bliss, ananda, becomes psyche, psychic being eventually, and supermind becomes mind. So this is how the whole ropeway runs. How to climb the ropeway, here is not revealing to us, but the secret, he hints at place to place. There is one password. Ma. Of course. And to get that password, aspiration. You get the password. Of course, special grace. Different thing. Grace is beyond anything. Okay. The knot of the two, the higher and the lower hemisphere. So higher is Satchidananda and supermind. The lower is mind like body with the psyche behind. So there is a line dividing the two. Knot. It's like inverted. Exactly like inverted. So it's tied so much, so it's covered in such a way that one cannot, the light has to come down from the higher world into the lower, refracted, diffracted, diminished, because we cannot bear it. The reason is this: evolution ultimately makes us capable. Right now, forget bliss. Mother says, if divine love manifests, most of you will not even recognize it, because we have an idea of love. If bliss comes, we'll break down. She says, a little joy and you begin to jump, dance. You just have to see the reaction to match. So forget about the bliss when it comes. So for a long time, slowly, we are being cooked. Cooked slowly. As we all know, that good cooking is always cooked on slow heat. So that 2-minute noodle, ready to eat, McDonald's, is not a good idea. Cooking things slowly, nicely, completely, as in old times people used to do on chula. So divine is cooking us slowly. We must taste, no? We must be tasted dishes when we go to him. Not half cooked, half baked. He will eat. We see in the Gita, Krishna is taking everybody. But I am sure he must be enjoying when Arjuna is going in. Ah, this is tasty. And when Karna is going in, oh, too much of bitterness inside. So this is the difference. So we have to become ready to receive the higher hemisphere. So there is a knot which ties. So people sometimes feel they can just do it by force, by eagerness, and they say, if I all the time do this, will I suddenly realize God? It's very likely that mind will break down. Because it doesn't work like that. There is a preparation that goes on through nishkam karma, equanimity and the remembrance. Many things have to be shed. See what happened when Shiva's grace was on Ravan. His bhakti completely got deranged. It became what happens to many of those who pursue God egoistically. He believed he is the only bhakta. He wanted to be the only intermediary. He wanted to establish Kailash in Lanka. And when Shiva denied once his, you know, request, he turned against. This is what happens when ego pursues. So there is a long journey is required for that. The knot of the two, the higher and the lower hemisphere, is where mind and supermind meet with a veil between them. Mind can go up to the mind. Again, we see each of these principles in matter assumes a different shape. Mind in its own realm is an emperor or a half-blind seer, very powerful. But mind in the human body is hampered by the brain and the structures. It is still to evolve. So this is what has to be understood. So mind, even when we release the mind from the human case and go toward the super mind, at the end it meets a veil. So that's where magic happens. So if the mind still wants to understand, then what happens? Either it doesn't really meet the Supreme, but it forms a school of thought. Dvaita, Advaita, Dvaita, Dvaita, Visishta, Dvaita, Bheda, Abheda. It cannot comprehend. It still wants by its own effort. Or it melts into the impersonality. It cannot conceive or grasp that supramental effulgence. So there also it melts into the impersonality and declares Nirgun Brahma. Or it suddenly has the vision of the divine as the cosmic being. So he becomes Sagun Brahma. And then they again start fighting. The devotees start fighting with each other. So all this mind reaches that point, but it cannot, it baffled. It cannot understand how opposites can live together. How good and evil can dwell together. For example, and mother said in supermind, there is the unity even of these. And of course, then she modified it because the disciples said, we can't understand. We'll start doing evil thinking it is all right. So she said, it changes its character. So if you really go into the heart of evil, we'll see it is also helping us grow in strength. Evil is like a tonic. It makes us grow strong when we confront. Not that we want a world of evil, but certainly it has its own place. That's why it has been allowed in the scheme of things. It's very nicely described in that movie. I have talked about it. I think it was nominated for Oscar, Bedazzled. Bedazzled. The rending of the veil is the condition of the divine life in humanity. This is what Mother has done for all of us. For by that rending, by the illumining descent of the higher into the nature of the lower being, and the forceful ascent of the lower being into the nature of the higher, mind can recover its divine light in the all-comprehending supermind. Once mind recovers its own light, again, in the divided life it brings that. Life begins to undergo a change. It begins to open directly to the conscious force. And once life changes into its origin, then matter. So this is the process. So he describes this large goal. And then he says something very cute. Shobinda is very cute. We make him so serious. Look at what he's saying. So cutely. Last four lines. Or rather we can read 7-8 lines. But the large plan of its order here and the nature and action of the manifested power of conscious force which reigns over the conditions under which we now exist. At present, what we have first to see is that the 7 or the 8 principles we have examined are essential to all cosmic creation and are there, manifested or as yet manifested. Now comes the cute part. In ourselves, in this infant of a year, which we still are, which is so true. Actually, strangely, infant of a year, Sri Aurobindo said, this is a clock which once came on. I don't like that channel, but anyway, BBC. Something good can happen even amongst people who do a lot of bad stuff. So, no offense meant. So, there was a clock, time clock. So, in that time clock, if you say creation starts with the Big Bang, zero. Then 5 billion years, Earth is cooling down. Then 15 billion years. Then by the time it is September in the year, in this clock, dinosaurs are ruling the Earth. And when the clock is striking midnight of December 31st, then man is born. If you take this timeline, even if you take 1 million years, what is 1 million years before 20 billion years? Nothing. So he uses the word infant of a year, man. So there are things which are manifested. This is to tell us, look, baby, don't worry, it will come. You are a baby. Like we tell children, no, you first develop, grow. I am telling you the whole plan, but you have to go through the process. So we are infant of a year. This line, this is also there in Savitri. Man, still a child in nature's mighty hands, in the succession of the moment lives. To a changing present is his narrow right. So when people say, you know, you should only care about the present, so my answer is, do you have a choice? But the supermind has a triple vision. It cannot be the ultimate truth. So to a changing present is his narrow right. The future flees before him as he walks. He stares at the phantom past through memory. He waits to weigh the certitude of his acts. But he knows not whether at last he will survive or perish from the earth like the mastodon and the sloth. But we think we are so great. Ignorance is not bad, it is everywhere. But arrogance is bad. It shuts the doors. That's why the condition for knowledge is humility. And mother says it's a safety on the path. What does humility say? Avijñātam vijānatā, avijñātam avijānatā. Those who say they know it not. Those who have not the thought of it, know it. It's of course a very beautiful verse. So all this comes from this passage, that things are not yet manifested. The higher trinity is the source and basis of all existence and play of existence, and all cosmos must be an expression and action of its essential reality. So there can be no universe, including the world of the gods, where something of this matter is not represented. That's how, you know, Prithvi goes and cries, the 7 immortal earths, all these come from this basic logic. The principle of earth is present even in the Satlok. That's why in Savitri there is a line, 7 immortal earths through which one rises. Ultimate earth principle is there. That's how it becomes in infinite exists. Supermind brings out that earth principle, and here we see matter. It makes the ground for all the different worlds. That on which one can have a firm footing. Padabhyam prithvi. So even gods, they are not floating in with clouds like they show in television. They have their own ground. Well, it's a different kind of ground. So that's how we have, wherever there is one principle and wherever there is matter, there is also Satchidanand. That is what we need to remember. But if we unlock the doors of the supermind, which has been done, then this matter, which is right now accursed, fallen, imperfect, limited, will eventually change through a process of evolution. It will manifest pure existence. So pure existence is luminous, plastic, not subject to decay, It is Akshitam, Achyutam. It's bliss, Keshavam. That's how it is described. No? It's of the nature of bliss. So even the body will taste immortality and bliss. But the doors have had to be parted, which has been parted. So, again, very interesting. You can see so many practical things come from there. Page 281. So what does the supermind do? Now, even the gods will have mind, life, body. And they have to have not just the larger cosmic dimension mind, but even the, because they have to channelize it in a certain direction. Wherever you have to channelize, mind is precisely that power of supermind through which it channelizes in one direction or another. Now slowly the channel forgets that I belong to, my origin is there. So even they use this. All that, there are other chapters we'll read. But just read something very interesting. Therefore, because law emerges from the supermind, and then at each level it becomes operative in its own unique way. There are laws of the mind, laws of body, laws of the vital world, but all these are provisional schemes. The original law is in the supermind. That's where the blueprint is. That's where our jivatma also in its highest sense dwells. It is our origin. It knows. That is the law of truth which Yajnavalkya speaks of. The face of truth is covered with a golden lid. That removes so that I may see the law of, receive the law of truth. So therefore, Sri Aurobindo says, it creates nothing which is not in its own self-existence, Sachidananda. He's become Sachidananda. And for that reason, all cosmic and real law is a thing not imposed from outside but from within. All development is self-development. All seed and result are seed of a truth of things, and result of that seed determined out of its potentialities. So what is the way Mother and Sri Aurobindo work? They don't give a set of rules. Do this, don't do this. If you don't do this, you will be punished. Nothing. There was a long time. There was no rule in the ashram. And people ask, give us something. At least, if you don't want to give yama niyama, something you must give. Then Sri Aurobindo, they gave one rule, which was part of a letter. It's, I think, 1936. Imagine, ashram starts 26. And the rule is very simple. Lord's way of giving the rule. Always behave as if the mother is looking at you, because she is always present. Do nothing, try to think and feel nothing which would be unworthy of the divine. No hard and fast do's and don'ts. He gave a very beautiful general law. Still people want laws. But if you see her working so different with each one, and if you see each of the devotees or disciple who rose to a certain stature, one is equal and yet so different. Compare them all and see, they are so different. Nalinda, Champaglalji, Amritda, Nirodha, Pranabda, Pavitrada, and the ladies, all of them are unique but so different. It's not like all are becoming the same holy man, teaching the same Vedantic doctrine. No. That's the beauty. Because that's the original Sanatana Dharma, by the way. Ekam sad vipra bahudha vadanti. So this is the, no law can be, all law is a growing from within. So to each one, what were they doing? Wherever they are just filling us with the force and power of the, now the supermind which they had with them. So what does it do? It pushes us according to the law of truth it has already foreseen. It creates a big upset in our life. Because as somebody has said in Hindi, tere man kachu aur hai, vidhata ke man kachu aur. You have your own idea of how life should be, and the divine has his own idea of what it should be. So here, that's why we see this kind of operation in ashram. If we really look at it, and in the life of devotee, it's so amazing. And it If we don't understand this aspect, we just get confused. Nobody is there to tell you exactly, but you will hear what you want, need to hear. You will not hear what you don't need to hear. You will get the experience you need to get. Somebody else will not get that experience, he will get some other experience. It's so amazing. Because you have to evolve along your own lines. What he has done, he has activated the supramental chip inside. Sorry, I'm sure supermind understands what we mean. Supramental chip is now active. So it is pushing from behind, accelerating our evolution. See where all we have deviated, bringing us back on track. It's so painful. Because we are loving that garden in which we are, that garden which will lead us to the castle of nowhere. That's the whole journey. Very interesting it is. So no law. Then he says something very interesting again. For the same reason, no law is absolute. Because only the infinite is absolute. And everything contains within itself endless potentialities quite beyond its determined form and course, which are only determined through a self-limitation by idea proceeding from an infinite liberty within. Supermind limits its real idea into one line. That becomes ultimately at the end point. It's a revelation, ends into a religion or ideology. It cannot be absolute. No religion can claim an absolute right over truth. And if it's claiming it, it has turned into falsehood. It's just not possible. Because you are saying the divine is limited, but by nature he is infinite. You can't limit him. Maybe he is good for you. Your God is good for you. By all means, do whatever you want to do with him. Offer your piece of meat. But the same infinite aspects. Now you see, that's why no law can be absolute. That's why one should be so careful of people quoting. Mother spoke about it. When Huta says, somebody told me this, somebody told me that, she said, why do you listen to people? And at one place she says that not only people say, then they quote me and saying, mother does not like it. Mother does not like that. What do they know? Very strong words. When people start catching, you know, when they see some young person, I'll tell you what the yoga is about. It has to be done this way. What do we know? To each one, the divine is unfolding. The key is open to the mother. That's what is important. The key is aspiration. All outer means, processes, they will all come out of this core from within. Aspiration, faith, growing sincerity, surrender to the mother. This is the key. How it will unfold in each one will be different. The moment we turn it into a fixed rule, we have lost it. So this is the what Sri Aurobindo is revealing to us. This power of self-limitation is necessarily inherent in the boundless all existence. The infinite would not be the infinite if it could not assume a manifold finiteness. The absolute would not be the absolute if it were denied in knowledge and power the will and manifestation of being, a boundless capacity of self-determination. That's why we have that bhajan, Dekhi Sakhi Mohe Achara Jave, Brahma Anadi Ananda Agochar. So Nand Lal ko Lal kahave. How can the divine become a little baby? No, it's not possible. There are, even in India, there are certain groups which don't believe in avatar in that sense. He says, well, you are denying the divine, the possibility that he cannot limit himself into a human body. Do you say divine is all powerful? Yes, then can he not do this? Can he not limit himself? So see, that's the catch 22 situation. This supermind then is the truth or real idea inherent in all cosmic force and existence. So it is this which creates this self-limitation. But in supermind, the whole original unity is there. Then the mind, all this he will describe in great detail subsequently. And then he describes, we'll read the end part, page 283. He describes the world of mind, life, matter. We've already spoken about it. it follows that wherever cosmos is there, even if only one principle be initially apparent, even if at first that seemed to be the sole principle of things, and everything else that may appear afterwards in the world seem to be no more than its forms and results, and not in themselves indispensable to cosmic existence, such a front presented by being can only be an illusory mask or appearance of its real truth. So even in Brahmalok, the principle of earth is represented. That's why when we read in the Purana, Prithvi goes to Brahma or Vishnu. How does it go? Some people say it's all imagination. It's such a profound truth. It means, logically, if one has to see scientifically, that was my answer before I had read all. I said, it means, look at it, don't just deny it. Look at it. It means there is a connection between the earth as we know it and the living earth, which we don't yet know. It also means there is a connection between the earth and the Vishnu Lok. That's how you have to see. Discover the connection. Don't deny the possibility. I didn't know what that connection is. Now, of course, we can see all the connection. Earth as a principle exists. So when earth becomes heavy, harchi, carries the anguish, so many rishi munis are doing tapasya. We want. Then the anguish of the earth is carried. And the Lord intervenes. It goes. Why? The earth principle already there. It manifests. And Lord Vishnu, as the story goes, says, yes, yes, I am coming. So this is the basis. So it is because of two things. One is involution. The second is limitation. So involution is what happens in earthly life, matter. Because it's the last point. But also, in the highest world, there is no involution. Satlok, there is no involution. So one part is in front, all is behind. This is easy to understand, both of them. A person may be at once, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm fine. You know, your example comes immediately, connected to yourself. So maybe a doctor, a teacher, husband, parent, child. But at a given point, you present one part. So when you are in your front of your parent, you are a child. You know, you automatically. When you are a doctor and you are dealing with something, you have to deal according to that. So there are different sides, aspects. So this is called putting forth one and keeping behind the rest. When you have to teach the child, you can't say, okay, it is okay, fine. You can make mistakes. Because you are a teacher at that point of time. If you are operating on somebody near to you, you can't say, oh my God, I'm going to give pain, I'm going to cut, I can't. No. You have to keep all your emotional sensitivities behind. And then you have to operate. So that's the way these higher worlds are created. How about the lower world? Involution. Now what is involution? The father who is all these things puts the seed in the womb of the mother, conscious force. Now what has happened? This seed is totipotent. God knows what is going to become. It carries within it the conception of the mother and the father. It carries its own destiny through lives. And then it will be on its own adventure. So that is involution. So all possibilities are hidden inside. So the last passage we'll read, 5 more minutes. The only question is, and this is very, very powerful, that this is bound to be, I mean, matter will bring out Sachidanand. Ultimately, there is no, he has explained logically everything. The only question is whether the earth is to be the scene of that emergence or the human creation on this or any other material scene in this or any other cycle of the large wheelings of time, its instrument and vehicle. This is the thing, passingly at one place in records of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo mentions that who knows if Venus may not be the scene of the next theater of evolution just as Mars was in the past. Maybe man's obsession with Mars is because of that. And if we look at it, if Earth cools, as some people say, Venus would be in the right temperature. I'm not saying that we should. And my mother also said, this is certain supramental evolution. The question that Sri Aurobindo has left hanging is whether it will be through humanity evolving or humanity will be left aside and the new being will appear. And Sri Aurobindo in fact says it when mother is also physically present. He says, whether it will be humanity or some other way, he says the mother has left the question hanging and so can I not pass anything more. But he says, but I hope that it will be this time and this humanity. 56, the question was settled. That it will be here and now and through humanity. Otherwise there was every possibility. But there is a plan B. Even if humanity was not there or gone, still this will manifest. Even if Earth was destroyed, this still will manifest. And that fills all of us with so much hope and joy. Okay, so we meet tomorrow for the last chapter. Thank you. Jai Mahavishnu.